As work on the bridge and roadworks commenced, residents were becoming somewhat uneasy about the effect on their suburbs.
To build the bridges, they had to take away a block's width of land right across the peninsula, and there were conspicuous buildings affected by that, namely the tea rooms, St Marlowe, Mary Reby's cottage, and the Fig Tree Chapel up at the top of the ridge, the Bank of New South Wales, which was a quite a nice two-storey building on the other side, the police station, and a number of homes, of course. I know there was a lot of debate going on with the Minister, Pat Hills, as to whether it had to happen this way and whether St Marlowe could be saved by deviating around it and so on. And when you look at the siting of St Marlowe and the way that they've approached some of those roadworks in more recent times, in retrospect, it's probably quite possible that they could have saved some of those buildings. But in those days, I think they seemed to approach everything on a very grand American scale, and there was no other way of doing it.
One of the buildings affected was Fig Tree Chapel.
But Fig Tree Chapel was a sort of early Anglican church. It was obviously caught up in this area where the buildings needed to be demolished for the road. It was on the corner of Church Street and Dubert Street. And the DMR agreed to fund its sort of dismantling and re-erection. And I remember this was done, and it was re-erected on a site nearby, and I think it became known as St Mark's, and I think they made some little improvements when they put it back up again. So I guess that was probably the government's gesture to keeping some of the heritage. Probably could have done that with St Marlowe rather than the little chapel, but anyway, that was one of the outcomes of it, I guess, the only sort of heritage outcome on the physical front. I mean, the wider outcome would have been the interest in heritage and the heritage movement that was really prompted by the events there.
Local resident Chris Hanrahan was enthusiastic about the prospect of a new bridge.
Yeah, I remember them clearing the land. I do remember there was quite a bit of bush there on the headland, and they were clearing that for quite some time. That was the first visible change in the area. But it was never a negative thing. I mean, it was never, nobody ever regarded that it was going to be an imposition. It was always welcomed because we needed it so badly. I mean, we needed the flow of traffic, and we needed, all of this area was opening up. And it was, a lot of it was originally market gardens and dairy farms, and it was opening up as residential, and there was a great cry for a better form of transport to this part of Sydney.
People were more accepting that the government knew what it was doing, and that they said that was the way to do things, and that people tended to accept that. Certainly the notion of environmental studies and impact statements, that wouldn't have been even dreamt of at the time.